It's Paris in 1710, and under Notre Dame Cathedral, building work is taking place. Within a wall, a small pillar is uncovered. It's been reused, but on closer examination, it looks like it was made in the first century, as it has on it carvings of gods, and alongside their names, they were Jupiter and Vulcan and Castor, Fortuna, amongst others. There is also one name that stands out, a name never seen anywhere before or since. It was inscribed Kernunos, and below this name was found a carving of a head with horns, and hanging from each horn was a torque, a stiff neck piece usually made of twisted metal. This carving had already been damaged, and only imagery above Kernunos' shoulders survives. But still, examining the image, we can see it's, well, it was short, suggesting the original image was not standing up, but sitting down. And so, since this time, images of horned deities posing cross-legged found in Europe have often been called Kernunos, based purely on visual similarities with this image. I am John White, a specialist in Indo-European mythology, and I help academics around the world find the origins of folklore and mythology. And this is the story of Kernunos, an unusual deity with more questions than answers. So let's do some research and learn more about him. But first, grab yourself a cup of tea and welcome to Crackenfold. Kernunos is unusual in the fact that we know the name of a deity, but we have no mythology or folklore about him, at least none we can confidently link to him, which makes understanding his purpose and function very challenging. What we do have, though, is, well, the only secure occurrence, attestation, if you will, of his name, which appears on the pillar found under Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And this pillar is known as the Pillar of the Boatmen. Archaeologists have confidence that this was originally made under the Roman rule of Emperor Tiberius and shows Roman and Gaulish deities, suggesting it was originally carved in this region and in the first half of the first century. It is also worth noting that the pillar as seen today seems to have undergone further wear since being discovered, as a name on the pillar associated with Kernunos is worn, and it is not Kernunos, but the original carving now reads Ernunos. The C has only been added as it appears in an 18th century drawing of the carving. And so there's still some concern over the reading of this and whether the artist was being overly confident in their interpretation of that writing. But whatever it said originally, today we know the deity as Kernunos. But with this, I hope it is clear our knowledge of Kernunos is limited, as we're not 100% sure on his name, of which we only have this one attestation. And attached to this one carving of an image of an antlered deity, probably sitting down, and that which is associated with torques. Now, this pillar is around 2,000 years old, as I say. It was probably made between sort of 20 and 50 CE, and it suggests that this deity was recognised by the Gauls, what many would consider as the Celts, and was also acknowledged by the Romans, which suggests there is no direct Romano Interpretatio of the god in Rome. In effect, the god's function was possibly unique and not matched by a single Roman god. Now, what the function of Kernunos was is very difficult to interpret. The only way we can do this now is to look at various other images we have that we think represent this deity and see if these allow us to determine if there are key or continuous features that offer us clues as to who this god was. And so let's look at the most recognised examples of images that we believe represent this horned god, and from there we can look to see what consistent features could help us understand its function. Now, the first example to look at is the Reims relief. It is dated to around the 1st century and was found in Reims, France. It presents three deities in a triadic frame, suggesting a strong social following. Kernanos sits in the centre, legs crossed. His antlers have been broken off in this relief, but you can see he is wearing a torque and holds a bag of seeds, which is pouring its contents to the ground, although these contents have also been interpreted as coins. At his feet are a bull and a stag, which are perhaps drawn to the contents of the bag if they are seeds, and in the top part of the carving, there looks to be a rat. The figures in this are also Apollo on the left, and in this scene he is representing a god of music as he holds a lyre, and to the right is Mercury, associated with commerce, who has his own bag, which may be holding coins. This scene shows that the Romans clearly know who Kernanos was, and that the deity held a key position in prosperity, and perhaps he is trying to be shown as a god who holds similar functions to Mercury and Apollo, you know, when there isn't a clear Roman god analogy available. You know, this is what we would usually have as Romano Interpretatio, a god that would replace Kernanos. Now, the next image we can look at is perhaps the most famous. It is from the Gundestrup cauldron, which was found dismantled into a number of plates with different images on them. This cauldron was found in Denmark. However, it looks to have been made by the Thracians, or perhaps even the Dacians, for their Celtic patrons. Now, either way, it seems as though the cauldron was made near what is modern-day Romania, near the Black Sea, and far from Denmark. Now, from the plates that have been put together to make the cauldron, one specific plate is the most well-known. On it is an antlered man wearing a torque around his neck, sitting cross-legged. In one hand is another torque, and the other hand holds a strange creature, a serpent with the head of a ram. Either side of the figure is a stag and a bull, and a wolf and a lion. But what we are looking at is just part of this plate. If we zoom out to view the whole plate, we can see other animals, another bull and lions fighting, and a man riding a fish, possibly representing a Wells catfish, as these would be big enough to perhaps physically be able to do this, although I'm not saying that actually happened, but it's a very interesting image. But the link to the fish is also interesting for reasons we will see in a couple of minutes. Now, there is also another interesting plate on the cauldron which shows a man in a horned helmet seemingly jumping over another example of a ram's headed serpent. There are griffins and perhaps a leopard also in this picture. The man is holding onto a wheel, and next to him is almost certainly a bearded deity, but this man is wearing the same outfit as the Kernanos figure. And then, if we look at one other plate from the cauldron, this not only shows a man with probably a ponytail wearing the same outfit, although it could be a hat, it also looks as though he is placing a child, who is also wearing the same outfit, into a cauldron. Now, an army marches to the side, and looking at this, this could be interpreted as a human sacrifice happening, but it may just be a head dunking ritual, especially as the subject is a child. Now, we'll put that to one side, as we may come back to that, or we almost certainly will come back to that later on. So, moving on to the next figure we have, and that is the god of Etangsur-Aru, or that is the name that has been given to this figure. A cross-legged man wearing a torque has two ram-headed serpents, which are possibly feeding or drinking from a container he has, and between them a torque rests against his chest. Antlers are not on this piece, however, there are holes in the head where we believe antlers were once placed. And then we have diagrams of this figure to profile the side and the rear, as the position he currently holds in the museum makes it impossible to get photographs of these angles. And what we see here is very unusual. that it looks like there are fishtails on his back, which might be associated with the ram-headed serpents, although there are still some who think that these aren't fishtails. But the other answers seem less convincing to me, but it is still interesting that we see another fish theme associated with this deity. The next relief is found in Luxembourg, the Niederkorn stele, a more Roman-style artwork, again suggesting a Roman acceptance of this deity. And this is a stand-in version of a god holding a horn of plenty, a horn full of food, a cornucopia, and has next to him a bull's head and a stag's head, both of whom seem to be spewing out coins. This is definitely a scene of wealth and abundance, and antlers are not shown, but much of the image is similar to the aspects of the other Kernanos figures we have looked at. Now, the next relief is attributed to Cirencester in England, but its location of discovery was never recorded. But this is the best guess we have that it was made in this area. It shows what was an antler deity holding two ram-headed serpents. It's a modest piece, but shows that Romans probably brought the god into Britain during their occupation. Remember, not all Romans were from Rome either. Soldiers from other cultures were recruited into the legions, and so this could explain the arrival of this Gaulish god. And we have another still from Vendures, which shows a more youthful Kernanos, seated, cross-legged, and holding a bag. And beside him are two genii, who could be considered as spirits that perform a role very similar to a fairy godmother of sorts, looking after someone through their lives. Now, these genii are standing on ram-headed serpents. And then we have a carving known as a Sumerian court statue. Here, the figure is seated, probably was cross-legged, wearing a toque, and antlers are broken off. He holds a bowl from which two snakes feed. Now, all these figures have shown similarities. Most are seated, cross-legged, wearing a toque. Often snakes and wild animals are within the context of the art. And the figures sometimes hold a bag of seeds or coins. And so, at first glance, it feels as though all these figures could be representing the same deity. And this explains why they are all here. But there are a couple of other images from much later on that could also be inspired by this antler-headed god. First off is this 9th century painting, and so made hundreds of years after Christianity has come into Europe, and it is found within a book known as the Stuttgart Psalter. The figure to the left that could represent Kernanos, seated, cross-legged, and holding a snake with what could be a horned head. Antlers have been replaced by a winged head, and whilst many people see Kernanos as Celtic, whatever that really means, it's a broad term that everybody thinks they understand, but if you ask 10 people what you think Celtic is, you'll probably get 10 different answers. But most people associate the Celts with Ireland. But as you can see, there is a lack of imagery mentioned here. But we have one image in Britain that looks to have been imported by the Romans, that could be, Kernanos. But there is this unusual image found in Clonmacnoise, a town in the middle of Ireland. It's in a church built in 544. And in this church, there's a North Cross. And the image on it has been found. And it is said to be Saint Kieran, a saint known for communion with wild animals, and some say his stories were based, at least in part, on Kernanos. But the thing is, we just have no way to prove that now. It is purely speculative, and certainly Ireland does not have any horned gods related to Kernanos, despite various attempts by various people to create links. But what this could suggest is that post-conversion, some pagan gods were seen in a positive light if this is indeed a representation of an antlered god. And so now you have seen all these images that a majority of scholars think are linked to Kernanos. How confident are we that they really are the same deity? Well, The similarities are the few clues we have to help us understand more about the figure. The deer antlers on a mature male head, the seating cross-legged, and then there are these wild animals, particularly bulls and stag, within the images. But there are also these snakes. These snakes are often ram-headed, and alongside this, there are indications of wealth, the talks, and access to coins and grain, often seen being poured from a purse or bag, as though they are in abundance. Now, seeing these, what can we ascertain about Kernanos? Well, talks are shown in a lot of these images, and a talk is a stiff, often twisted piece of neck jewellery, and would have been a key indication of wealth and status. Now, originally, talks were given to leaders of tribes, but eventually they became associated with elite members of the Gaulish communities, so they were more popular, more common, although still reasonably rare. And they started to come into prominence around 1200 BCE, so 3,200 years ago. And by 400 BCE, they had become really emblematic. In the sense, the elites were wearing them, and it was recognised that your elite status by having this is like a fashion accessory. But by the end of the 1st century CE, so 1900 years ago, they had been replaced as this mark of elite status. And this is useful for helping us to understand a timeline for Kernanos and his origins. Another piece of evidence to consider is the ram's headed serpent. And you may be wondering what one looks like. So here one is. This is from a carved piece of stone from Belgium. It's from a collector in Belgium. It's around 2000 years old and probably made by the Skuldiski culture. Gone out of focus. There we go. Hope you can see that. Now, the Skuldiski culture was near the Thracians, who made the Gundstrup cauldron. And there are other images we can see of this ram-headed serpent, all of which are considered Celtic in their origin. And by Celtic, what I really mean is those Indo-European cultures that spoke a language that was a form of Celtic. And so, in effect, the ram's-headed serpent seems to be unique to the Celtic people, and is the serpent that is often found in the presence of the figures that are said to represent Kernanos. Now, I'll have a little detour into this serpent, as it is an interesting figure in its own right. Now, often it is shown with a full ram's head, or more often with ram-like horns on a snake's head. And as I just mentioned, this is really idiosyncratic to the Celtic world. Two examples where we see it are in the cheekplate of the Agulis helmet, which I've highlighted in this image. And this helmet was made around 400 BCE, at the same time talks were getting really popular. And then we have a ram's head in a fibula, which is like a brooch. This was found in France and dated to certainly no later than 300 BCE. And then perhaps what could be considered particularly unusual and rare, we have a coiled serpent with a ram's head on a coin found in southern England, which seems to have been struck, we're guessing, around the 1st century CE. And so we can date the ram's headed serpent to between 400 BCE and 100 CE, which is really matches the same time when, as I say, these talks became emblematic. Now, can we find anything else about this serpent? What does it represent? Well, we have various interpretations, such as it could represent a chthonic symbol alongside fertility, wealth, and the cyclical nature of life and death. You know, snakes are often considered with immortality because they shed their skins, and there are many stories where humans consider the snake responsible for taking their immortality away, the most famous of which being the serpent in the Garden of Eden. But others think this represents the guardian of treasures and sacred sites, whilst there are some who may feel it has influence from the Greeks or Near Eastern cultures with the symbology. But whilst there is sort of similar imagery, there is very little to prove a direct influence at all. And for me, I feel the snake is a symbol of rebirth, a sign that something is changing, with the ram's head, a pastoral symbol about breeding, alongside the snake, a symbol of this immortality. And perhaps this is a sign of becoming a more powerful, perhaps chthonic power, or becoming a leader, maybe. Now, I don't think we will ever know exactly, but this snake is something I will probably look into in the future if time allows. Certainly let me know in the comments if you want to know more about this snake, and I'll probably try and make a video about it, a longer video. So what we really need to understand, though, is that this snake has been around for hundreds of years across much of Europe, and whatever it meant at 400 BCE in one part of Europe by the Black Sea, it probably didn't mean the same thing if 400 years later in another part of Europe, let's say in Denmark, on this cauldron. So we can't really say it is this and be absolutely sure, but certainly putting all these things together, we have this snake, and from this date of 400 BC to 100 BC with a ram-headed serpent at the talks, and this indicates to me anyway that Kernanos was a deity which rose to prominence in the Laten period, which is around 450 BCE to 50 BCE, and this aligns to the rise of Celtic cultures. And this is coupled with evidence that, you know, we found these images, which is all across Europe. Now, and this map shows where these key images were found. Again, it shows it's a European-focused deity. You know, and there does seem to be an outlier in Denmark and England, but certainly the concentration seems to map very well with what we know of the Ten culture. Although the Ten culture isn't really a culture, it's a phase of the Iron Age. I'll talk about that in a second, maybe. So anyway, we then have this cross-legged pose with Kernanos, which some believe is an import from Hinduism. Although, again, there is no evidence for this, as cross-legged figures appear pretty much in many cultures. And so from our point of view, this posture is more likely to be an indigenous ritual, seated position that has always been used by this culture. But it offers us no real clues as to what it means. We do see in some imagery a bag or a bowl. Sometimes animals are feeding from these. Sometimes the contents are being poured out. This potentially indicates wealth and prosperity, and we can feel more confident about this where we see sort of examples with a horn of plenty, this cornucopia. Now, we have some understanding of the iconography, its age and where it is from. But what else can we work out about this deity, Kernanos? You know, have you ever wondered what the name means, for example? Well, Kernanos is sometimes suggested as meaning the horned one. And that seems very plausible if we assume the interpretation of the inscription as Kernanos has been correct. And if so, we can look at the Gaulish and provincial inscriptions around the area. We can see if we can understand how this name was used. So we see, for example, Kernukios at Steinsel and Kornanos as a patronymic at Montanac and Kernini in Dacia. But none of these are tied to an Atlas deity. They are, well, parallels. The names are parallels. They're not replicating the deity's names. They're just reusing the same words to represent something else. Now, some scholars of the Celtic languages suggest that the name derives from the Celtic root kern, meaning horn or antler or top, which can be then traced back to the Proto-Indo-European ker, meaning horn or head. And whilst this matches the images we see, well, it doesn't really prove anything about the function of the deity, other than he had a horned head. You know, it is, in effect, the name of Kernanos is a descriptive form of the deity's physical form, not its functional form. And this really concludes what most people know of Kernanos. But there is actually more information, not directly associated with the god, but related in such a way that it may allow us to get a better understanding of this deity. Now, This deity seems to have arrived in Europe around 400 BCE with the rise of the Ten culture. And I say this is an, well, what we consider Iron Age culture. At the time, the Celts were growing, that the Celtic culture was growing in Central Europe. And this included the use of torcs and the imagery of the ram's headed serpent. And with them, this deity, which we are pretty confident was called Cernunnos, although we're not 100% sure. And it does look like this deity had a connection with wealth and prosperity. But to continue our story, and the reason I like to continue this and look at other things is the reason I enjoy folkloristics and mythology. You know, we are all human. We do tell stories and share things. And as such, there must be clues, perhaps even outside of Europe, that may have influenced the rise of Cernunnos. So, you know, let's talk about them. And perhaps the most obvious one to talk about initially is Pan. So Pan is a god from ancient Greece. And some people like to link Pan with Cernunnos because of the horns. But really, they are very different. Deer antlers versus goat horns suggest a different kind of background, and Pan's origin seems to be from the Arcadian mountains of southern Greece, and he is considered a pastoral deity. In that way, he does have some similarity with Cernunnos regards this zoomorphic appearance, although Pan is typically depicted as half man, half goat, where Cernunnos looks only to have antlers. Now, the cult of Pan was originally localised and chthonic, rooted in caves and groves and highlighted sanctuaries, and again something we could perhaps presume is a little similar to Cernunnos, but it is presumption. But after the Persian Wars, he became more widely worshipped. I think there was someone saw him in a dream or something, but he became more widely known, certainly in Athens, and in both Hellenistic and Roman interpretations. He grew, and his Pan's attributes symbolized nature, eroticism, and a divine madness. And the result of this is that Pan was used now as imagery from which was pulled into Christian worship as the figure of the devil, which is really interesting, especially if we consider the 9th century Psalter, which was this Cernunnos type figure, which could represent the devil, or at least a devilish figure. Even though there's no indication, apart from being a pagan god, that Cernunnos had functions that could be applied to a devil figure. Now, there is other evidence I've skipped until now of what could be Cernunnos. You know, the first of which is two other coins found in Britain. And as I mentioned, these, because really the finding of a coin with a ram-headed serpent in Britain is really unusual. So these other two are worth a look. You know, here, the one on the left shows a head with horns pointing downwards at the back of the head. And the coin on the right shows a head with antlers and a headdress, which looks like a wheel, which may be referencing mythology relating to the Gundestrup cauldron I mentioned earlier. But for now, that again is pure speculation based on similar imagery. You know, and there will also be some of you who may know of the antler figure of the Grotte des Trois Frères shown here. Now on the right, and with possibly a snake on their left. And this figure is interpreted as wearing fur due to the thickness of the body. And whilst we recognise key iconography within the image that is similar to Cernunnos, the image is very different, with no animals or cross-legged pose. And this image is thousands of years older than all the other images we have of Cernunnos. And so at best, it shows that the wearing of antlered headdresses was something that humans considered as a status symbol, you know, something, you know, it was cool to wear a headdress sort of thing. Now, we also see in the Val Camonica caves petroglyphs of many antlered figures. You know, these date from a few hundred to many thousands of years old, up to 8,000 years old, I believe. And as such, whilst the similar iconography of an antlered headdress is recognisable here, nothing else really is. And much like the cave of the three brothers, this really shows that humans like wearing headdresses that look cool, you know, that represent something amazing in the world around them. But our search for influences on Kernos do not end here. We also have this image of Artemis with a bull and a stag. She is shown with wings as opposed to stag antlers, and the association of being in control of animals with a bull and a stag could be a motif that was applied to Kernos, such as in the Reims relief. And there are other figures, although they're corrupted enough to make their function and purpose ambiguous. Perhaps one's wearing a toque with animals and perhaps had antlers. But all these suggest that some motifs persisted before and after the worship of Kernos, which to me says more that the motifs of horns being cross-legged and certain animals were as powerful as the image of the god and persisted longer. And this, I feel, is a good time to really summarise who Kernos was and was not. Kernos, if that was his name, and there was a small chance it was Ernos or starting with another letter, was a Celtic deity from the Latin culture, which expanded across Europe from the 4th century BCE and then sort of faded out of existence by the end of the 1st century CE. And as I say, the Ten weren't specifically a culture. They're more of an archaeological horizon where we see a new phase of the Iron Age coming along. Although I use the term Ten because it's just as a culture, because it's easier to explain this period. But assume Tens and Celtic are very similar. Yeah, and so Kernos here took aspects that were important to this culture with him. Torques and a ram-headed serpent were amongst these. Now, if we try to imagine this Iron Age world, many things were ritual, were, you know, being born was ritual, coming of age was ritual, dying there was a ritual. All these had rituals attached. And judging by some imagery here, it feels like Kernos symbolised wealth and prosperity, especially with the display of torques, a piece of jewellery only available to the elite. So it makes sense to me if that when someone became recognised as being of elite status and with power over land, which had pastoral farming on it, then they would be recognised in a ritual. And this would ensure others knew they were where they stood in the hierarchy of society. And I feel that perhaps such rituals were carried out in front of this deity, and perhaps even done when the person inherited maybe such a place. And that is partly due to the imagery of a small person being dipped headfirst into a cauldron, but partly because of the understanding of ritual. Now, this is totally speculative, but I'm just saying this is how we sometimes need to think about things. We need to step back and think what was going on at the time. Certainly, the lack of acceptance of the god in Roman pantheons, a lack of Romano interpretatio, suggests that this was a god specific to what we consider as this Ten culture. And linking such things together, to me, these ideas just make sense. I mean, if the ram-headed serpent was chthonic, representing immortality and bad things, the fact that the deity looks to have control of what could be a sign of control over these things within their domain, not just faith, but wealth and animals, a sign of pastoral beliefs that have filtered down into the culture represented by the Ten. And it shows that, you know, someone's in control of things, as like a leader. So whatever people think of this deity, you know, we feel confident it is not related to Pan or to the devil. We see other deities of very similar symbology coming from this, but there's no link here. It's been made up. And I would have to say that such a figure would be somewhat symbolic with Mother Nature, the Earth Mother. In effect, there is little we can be absolutely sure about this god, about Kernos, other than there is little we can be sure about him. You know, not even his name. And that really is the story of Kernos. Take care.